The United States Supreme Court sided with President Trump and his administration in an immigration case dealing with the government's power over green card holders accused of crimes. The 6-3 decision centers on an immigration officer's 2012 decision to put lawful permanent resident Muk Choi Lau on immigration parole when he returned from a short trip to China because he had been accused of a counterfeiting crime. I think counterfeiting clothing, I guess. Michael Bulata of the famous Bulata Law, he's a federal criminal defense attorney and former federal prosecutor, joins us to talk about the Supreme Court siding with the Trump administration. Michael, nice to talk with you.
Good morning. Good morning, Paul. Nice to be here.
Good afternoon. Nice to have you with us, too. That's two guests in a row that fell back to my morning schedule. And heck, I've been doing this for, I don't know, a year or two, Mike Parsons. How long has it been? It's been a while. So it's afternoon. It may feel like morning, and sometimes it does. I know exactly how you feel. What do you think about this? Is the Supreme Court on the right track? Do you agree with it? Do you disagree? It doesn't matter what we say, but it's nice to get your learned opinion.
Yeah, so let me just say for the listeners what exactly happened. So what happened in the Blanche versus Lau decision was that the Supreme Court changed the ordinary rule, at least the rule in the Second Circuit where this occurred, which was that if you're a green card holder and you leave the country and you come back, you're still a permanent resident under the green card. And if the ICE folks wanted to change that, they would have to have a serious evidence that you committed a crime of what they call moral turpitude, meaning some crime that involves dishonesty or some serious felony like murder or something. But they'd have to have clear and convincing evidence of that. And in this case, Lau had a pending case for clothing counterfeiting, as you said, but it wasn't adjudicated yet. And so what Lau was arguing is, hey, it wasn't adjudicated. You don't have clear and convincing evidence. You have to wait until I'm convicted, essentially, to change me from a permanent legal resident to just an applicant. And the Supreme Court said, no, that is not the case. The ICE officer at the border, they can treat a green card holder as a brand new applicant when they're returning into the country if they believe that they might have a criminal issue, but they don't have to prove it or have clear and convincing evidence at that time that they're coming into the country. So essentially, under the ruling, you could have a green card like Mr. Lau did and come back into the country, and the ICE people could put you into custody and detain you and then deport you. So it is significant in that, you know, we're putting, in my view, and this is why I don't agree with the decision, at least the practical consequences of the decision, which could obviously be amended by congressional action, which is I hope they do. But what it does now is it essentially puts the cart before the horse. Someone is removed from this permanent resident status based on the belief of the officer, in which can be before anything was adjudicated or decided. As a former federal prosecutor and now a defense attorney, I like consequences to come after proof, not the other way around.
Interesting,
So that's why I don't think it's a good practical decision. I haven't gone into the weeds of the law and their justification for it, but practically speaking, I don't like it, and I hope it gets changed. Congressional action.
Honest to goodness, do you think these Supreme Court justices, what was it, a 6-3 decision?
6-3, yeah.
Those six justices still trying to curry favor with the president and his sweeping immigration crackdown?
I'm not sure what their motivations are. There could be many motivations, but I hope that they really believe that their decision is the law and what the law should be. But I'm just saying, from a practical policy standpoint, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Better to wait till somebody has not just been accused of a crime, but found to be guilty of the crime. Generally speaking, that is the way the judicial system works in this country. In fact, we go as far as to say everybody is innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah, and the other thing I want to point out, too, is the people that have green cards, a lot of them have built lives here in the U.S. They have jobs, they've had families here. And to treat them as applicants, you know, after maybe 10, 15 years living in the United States or longer, I just don't think that's fair without the proof. So,
What do you think is going to happen now that since the court, I haven't heard anything yet today, but the court's also considering some cases over President Trump's push to end birthright citizenship?
Oh, gosh. I don't know what's going to happen with that one. I really think sanity will prevail, and I think just looking at the text of the Constitution and the stare decisis, the prior decisions of the Supreme Court, I think that rule should stand. Personally, but
well, Michael, you know, before you finish your laugh there, which was a hearty laugh,
I can laugh much heartier than that.
All right, well, all right, I'll call that then just kind of a mild. A chuckle. All right, I'll say chuckle. Here's the only thing that bothers me about the people who are reporting this. The one thing they're not reporting is when the signers and when the people who thought about this and when they came up with all these things, it was basically for a different reason. But my point now is they never envisioned businesses being set up, which there are businesses set up to bring pregnant women into the United States so they can have their baby here and get birthright citizenship. These guys didn't think about that when they were making these laws, and that's a very real problem right now.
Right, just like they didn't think about when they made the Second Amendment, they didn't think about assault rifles and a lot of the things that were—
That is correct.
School shootings. I mean, the Constitution has to expand, and what it should do, and it's, I believe it's built that way, to adapt to the changes in society and the social changes. And so because this has been such a part of our country that if you're born in the country, you are a citizen of the country, I think that's part of who we are. And so why I say that is I think you could legislate out these companies. You could make it illegal to have a company, you know, that's trying to bring people here to have babies. That you could legislate that without—
So do that without – with the,
You don't have to—
Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Thank you. I was just going to go with that baby analogy. Thank you.
All right. Well, one of these days, I'm going to get a heartier laugh from you, Michael. God bless you.
I'll get you one.
Okay. Well, don't just fake it now. Nothing worse than a faked laugh. Michael Bulotta of Bulotta Law, federal criminal defense attorney and former federal prosecutor. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
1242. Well, let's call it now 1243 at 760 WJR. Paul W. Smith in focus on this Wednesday, June 24th. Daron Levin coming up in just a moment, the freelance journalist born in Israel, served in the Israeli military. He goes to Israel rather often, and we're going to see what he has to say about the Senate now voting to limit President Trump's war power in Iran.